Welcome, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day to one and all. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to give a big thanks to my first two guests for today, Jeff Kazak from the Irish Fest School of Music. You can find out more at irishfestschoolofmusic.com, as well as Corey Webster from the Irish Heritage Center in Milwaukee. Remember, you can find out more at IHCH, the Irish Heritage. Yeah, that's what it is. We'll have the correct website for both of those organizations in our show notes for today. But everybody, I was really excited to share some of my Irish history and invite all of you to do the same. So many of us here in Wisconsin do have some Irish background of some such. If you would like to share some of that, or if you've traveled to Ireland and have a particularly memorable experience that you would like to share with us, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Please do join us. We got a texter from the 715 enjoying the show this afternoon. Thank you so much. Texting in on the WAUK text line. Remember, if you download the Civic Media app, you can call or text with just the push of one button. But I was very fortunate growing up to have a mom that was particularly interested in the genealogy in our family trees. I think in part because I am an only child. So without siblings, right, I think there was a bit of added urgency to know more about our family's background. And so I basically interviewed my mom over the weekend to ask her about our genealogy, as well as how she got interested in it. How did she go about doing genealogy, if you will? Of course, these days, you can try to hit the easy button, right? Like 23andMe, Ancestry.com. I think there's FamilyTree.com. That's certainly one way to go about doing things. But even with that, one of the best ways to find out about your own family background is to talk to your older relatives and your extended family. I think gone by the wayside are those things like big family reunions. I know some folks still do them. It seems to be harder and harder to do that these days. But listen, if you have a big family reunion every few years, get your phone out, hit record, and go ask your great-grandma, or your great-aunt on what. Sit down and ask them stories about their background, about what they may know, about their grandparents. Those oral traditions, those oral histories, are one of your greatest sources of information about your family. And you can then, of course, support and go deeper with source documents and all of that. Again, I'm going to share you a little bit of my family's background, Irish background. I invite you to do the same. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So my Irish ancestry comes predominantly, or nearly exclusively, we think, from my mom's side of the family. Again, she was the one that did all the genealogy digging. And on that side of the family, there are two great-great-great grandfathers that came to the United States from Ireland. So in case anybody is doing the math on Maggie Dawn's ancestry, the math is I'm about an eighth Irish. So my grandmother was half Irish. She had, her dad was full Irish. My mom, a quarter Irish. I am therefore an eighth Irish. I am a Wisconsin mutt, if you will. I mean that with love and respect. I'm also German and Polish and Serbian. And we think maybe a little Alsatian French, all kinds of fun stuff going on there. But my mom, I think, spent a lot of time and care around our Irish genealogy because that was some of the oral history that her family knew. So getting back to that, we had two different men in our family tree that came over and really started my family's beginnings in the United States. both of them coming over before the potato famine got really bad. But in that same, like, basically build up to the peak. Now, interestingly enough, both of them came over before Ellis Island. So the first branch of my family, my great-great-great-grandfather, his name was John Hayes. And we think, a little uncertain as the year, we're thinking around like 1835 he came over. And he did not, again, go through Ellis Island, which was not yet open. We think he came through before it was like officially opened, which happened a couple of years later, but they had started to process some immigrants coming over through a place called Convent Garden. Convent Garden. This was the precursor to Ellis Island. So no, not everybody came through Ellis Island. And then on my other family tree stem is a guy by the name of Hugh Hickey. So both the Hayeses and the Hickeys in my family were the Irish branches of my family. Now, John Hayes, again, we think came from County Cork, and Hugh Hickey came from County Meath, north of Dublin. County Cork and sort of the more western, central, southernish area of the country. So very fascinating, very interesting background. And on the Hickey side, we believe they may have settled and landed in both New Richmond, Wisconsin, and then on the Hayes side in Cumberland, Wisconsin. So I say I'm native, born and raised Milwaukeean, and I am, but also these branches, these original branches of my family coming and settling in different places. Brian from Milwaukee, happy St. Patrick's Day to you, sir. What would you like to comment on or share this afternoon?
Thank you. Yeah. Even though my name is Brian, I'm not Irish, but I think everyone's Irish on St. Paddy's Day.
100%.
And one of the great memories I have is when I was a kid in 95, I was at my grandmother's house, and she had a VHS of Riverdance.
Mm.
And it was the first time I've seen it, and I had never seen anything like before. And that weekend, I probably watched that VHS tape probably like 20 times. And before I left her house, she's like, "So you're going to bust a move?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" "Well, you've seen that video enough that you should know how to do it by now."
it's fun to even fake it, you know. It gets you going.
And one of the greatest joys I had was right before COVID, they had their 25th anniversary world tour going on, but COVID hit. And they had to cancel all of their Wisconsin appearances. Mm. But what they did instead was they recorded the 25th anniversary at Point Theater in Dublin, where it all started. And they re-released that in cinemas the weekend of St. Paddy's Day in the U.S. And you could actually buy tickets to go see this recording of the 25th anniversary production on a certain day. I think it was St. Paddy's Day in like 2020. And I went with like five friends of mine to the AMC at Mayfair to see this on the big screen. And it was just kind of cool because it was like the history of Riverdance, but it was also the show with new music. They came out with a new soundtrack. They completely redid the score, new costumes, new set, new everything. And I just love that after 35 years, that show is still going strong and how they just keep evolving that show. And it has a wonderful storyline, you know. So.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Brian, and thank you for sharing your story of hearing Irish music and Irish dance for the first time. It is, first of all, going to Riverdance because they mic the floors is you will hear that it like from the back of your chest down to the toes on your feet. It really rocks. Now, my connection to Riverdance is, if you've been listening since the beginning of the show, and don't worry if you missed the start of the show, you can always check that out at civicmedia.us/shows. All of our old shows you can find there, also on Spotify and Apple Pods. Here's my connection to Riverdance. If you heard me at the beginning of the show talking about going to Irish fiddle lessons with this then yet soon to be, she wasn't quite yet world famous, but a now world famous Irish fiddler by the name of Eileen Ivers. She taught, I think, a week's worth of group classes out of UWM, and I went to those. Eileen Ivers first became famous. She had her own group But then she became the featured fiddler for Riverdance. You may have, in fact, seen her, Brian, from Milwaukee, because she is famous for her electric violin that is blue. It is really cool. I actually got to play on her famous blue electric violin when I was taking classes with her. And certainly the couple of times that I saw Riverdance here in the States, she was playing, and it was such a treat to see her. I even got to speak with her once and say, hey, you're not going to remember me. I was like a 14-year-old kid back then, but you taught me some Irish fiddling. It was very, very special for me. One of the interesting things about my Irish ancestry is how closely it tracks American Irish history, right? Those two gentlemen, my great-great-great-grandfathers, both were farmers in Ireland. And likely when they came here, we think that Hugh Hickey continued to farm. He may have raised some sheep here in Wisconsin. And John Hayes, we believe, did some farming, but also became a laborer. And we were talking about that with Corey Webster of the Irish Heritage Center here in the Milwaukee area, that the Irish here in the United States often did many of the jobs that no one else would do. So that certainly was borne out in my own family tree. I'm going to share a little bit more of my mom's tips on uncovering some genealogy, some sources that are around Wisconsin that you may want to check out as we continue this celebration of St. Patrick's Day here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked right here. You want to share a story? Please do. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. We'll be back with more in just a moment right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.